It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep with David Green in Washington.
And I'm Renee Montaigne in Kabul. Here in the capital of Afghanistan this morning, an attack by Taliban militants has left several people dead outside a compound housing American and international aid workers. We'll hear more about that in a few minutes. The attack came shortly after a surprise trip to Afghanistan by President Obama. He was here to sign a new long-term partnership agreement with Afghanistan and mark, in the presence of American troops, the anniversary of Osama bin Laden's death. NPR's Scott Horsley has more.
Midnight is an unusual hour for a diplomatic ceremony, but neither President Obama nor his Afghan host, Hamid Karzai, seemed to mind as they inked a strategic partnership agreement inside Karzai's walled palace in Kabul. Mr. Obama says the agreement commits the U.S. to remain a friend and partner to Afghanistan long after the last combat troops have left.
The agreement we signed today sends a clear message to the Afghan people. As you stand up, you will not stand alone.
The new agreement does not promise any specific financial support for Afghanistan, though, nor any specific military presence. In a televised speech to a primetime American audience, Mr. Obama stressed the 10,000 American troops who've already left Afghanistan and the many more who will be coming home over the next 2.5 years.
Our goal is not to build a country in America's image or to eradicate every vestige of the Taliban. These objectives would require many more years, many more dollars, and most importantly, many more American lives. Our goal is to destroy al-Qaeda, and we are on a path to do exactly that.
Mr. Obama gave much of the credit for that to U.S. military forces in Afghanistan. Shortly after the signing ceremony, he met with a crowd of uniformed troops at Bagram Air Base.
Slowly and systematically, we have been able to decimate the ranks of al-Qaeda. And a year ago, we were able to finally bring Osama bin Laden to justice.
The surprise visit to Afghanistan came 1 year to the day after Mr. Obama announced bin Laden's killing. Last night's speech had a very different backdrop, military vehicles instead of the stately White House East Room. Mr. Obama said it was an appropriate place to mark the anniversary.
It was here in Afghanistan where al-Qaeda brought new recruits, trained them, and plotted acts of terror. It was here from within these borders that al-Qaeda launched the attacks that killed nearly 3,000 innocent men, women, and children.
Long before he was killed, of course, bin Laden fled Afghanistan for neighboring Pakistan. Military analyst Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says that's now the real hub for al-Qaeda in the region.
We have to remember that if we're truly concerned about terrorism and the challenges of 9/11, it's never going to be adequate for the president or anyone else to talk about Afghanistan. You have to talk about Pakistan and the overall stability of the region.
Cordesman is also skeptical of claims that Afghan military forces are capable of securing their own country. The administration says Afghan forces are already moving into the lead in parts of the country where nearly half the population lives, and NATO forces are set to meet in Chicago later this month to make additional plans for troop drawdowns. Cordesman says the Allies may have to settle for a more limited goal in which only parts of the country are protected. He calls that option Afghan good enough.
That means essentially a much less stable Afghanistan, but it's one which is much more affordable and where the parts that are under government control and are more supportive of the government have some chance of surviving this process of transition.
U.S. officials acknowledge the challenges ahead. Whatever we do, one said yesterday, Afghanistan is still going to be the third poorest country in the world, with a 70% illiteracy rate and some huge sectarian schisms. Still, Mr. Obama says it's time for a new kind of relationship with Afghanistan. He sees the beginning of a new chapter there, even if U.S. and Afghan forces haven't quite closed the book on the last one. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
News is slowly spreading across Afghanistan of President Obama's midnight visit to Kabul, and Afghans woke up this morning to a darker kind of news as well. That car bomb attack on a foreign aid compound little more than a mile from where the two presidents met hours earlier. NPR Kabul Bureau Chief Quil Lawrence joins me here in Kabul. And let's start with this morning's attack. Tell us what you know about it at this point in time.
Well, it was a group of insurgents, as many as six. Some witnesses say that they were dressed in burqas and had their weapons and suicide vests hidden under their burqas. They drove a car up to the gate of this compound. They got out and then detonated the car. It was a huge bomb. Gunfight started with the guards, and several of these attackers detonated suicide vests. International and Afghan forces scrambled to engage them. The gunfight was over in a couple of hours. The casualties appear to be mostly bystanders who were killed in that initial car bomb blast. The Taliban say that this attack was linked to President Obama's visit, but there is some doubt. The sense we have here is that the attack was probably, the attackers were already in place.
But just to be clear, President Obama had already left Afghanistan when these bombs started going off.
That's right. He had been gone from Kabul for about 5 hours, and he'd probably already flown out of Bagram Air Base north of here when the attack began. President Obama choppered down to the city around midnight, signed the agreement with President Karzai, and then returned to Bagram Air Base. That said, it's probably the closest a U.S. president has ever been to suicide bombers, and there was a major security breach about 4 hours before President Obama even landed in Afghanistan. Someone, probably within the Afghan government, leaked the news of the trip to the Afghan media. So we're supposing there must be some very angry people in the White House security detail right now.
Let's get back to that long-term partnership agreement. How are Afghans reacting to Presidents Obama and Karzai signing this last night? I mean, at one level, there must be a sigh of relief.
Well, this morning there wasn't really much reaction yet. Most people in Kabul, for example, were more distracted by this Taliban attack. And no one that we spoke with had even heard that President Obama had come and gone under the cover of darkness to sign this agreement. Now, they have all heard about this agreement that was finalized in a draft form a couple of weeks ago. And in the long term, the question is whether Afghans are going to be reassured by it. A whole year since President Obama announced the U.S. troop drawdown, Afghans have been very vocal about their fears that the country was going to be abandoned again, that it would be like after the Soviet withdrawal in 1991. Afghan factions fought amongst themselves. There was a terribly bloody civil war, which led to the rise of the Taliban, which led to safe havens for al-Qaeda. So the strategic partnership document explicitly says that the U.S. will stay, that they're going to have at least 10 years of commitment after 2014 to help Afghanistan. But Afghans I have talked with say they'll believe it when they see it, 2 or 5 or 8 years down the road, whether the U.S. is still here or whether America has lost interest and left them alone again.
Quil, what is Afghanistan going to have to deliver in return for an extra 10 years of an American commitment?
Well, this agreement, which is a legally binding treaty, says that Afghanistan must protect the rights of minorities and women, must commit itself to free and fair elections. These are very tall orders that, frankly, the Afghan government hasn't really measured up to so far. And so the question is, what happens if the next election in Afghanistan isn't free and fair? Does it constitute a breach of this agreement? These are all promises, things that the Afghan government says they'd like to see, things that the American government would like to see. And perhaps they give America some leverage as their presence here diminishes to push the Afghan government in that direction.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you, Renee.
NPR's Quil Lawrence with me here at NPR's Bureau in Kabul.
And we'll be hearing Renee Montaigne's reporting from Afghanistan in the days ahead. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.